2 Timothy chapter 3.
I'm getting kind of bored with 2 Timothy. Would we like to study something else?
Verse 5, having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. For of this sort are they which creep into houses and lead captive silly women laden with sins, led away with diverse lusts, ever learning and never able to come to the knowledge of the truth. We started to study creep, I think, but it literally means to clothe oneself with an appearance. And so, like, those of you know, I did this all the time when before I was a believer. If I was going to one thing, I put on a suit and tie. If I did another, I would put on a very casual. Whatever it was, you clothe yourself with that. Now, what we're talking about here are people that clothe themselves with the appearance of Christianity. But it has nothing to do with Christianity. And we'll study a bunch of scriptures about this just to see how often the New Testament warns people against this sort. But I just want to go down I need to get to silly women. They creep into the houses, lead captive, which it's literally a prisoner of war, or captivate one's mind. Laden is a word that means heavily laden, overwhelmed. And so because they are so overwhelmed because of their own lusts, their own ideas of what things should be, then the sin-laden consciousness seeks the easiest way to get rid of it. And so if you have 1,000 things that you think you should do and want to do, and here comes somebody in the name of God telling you, this is how you satisfy all your desires. Now, this even includes down to including salvation and healing and every aspect of somebody trying to get something. Everybody understand that? And the word silly, where are we? I lost my place. They creep into houses and lead captive silly women. Now, this is an expression. It's genakaron, but it's a idiom. It doesn't mean women. It means that anybody that listens to this crap is a silly woman. It's they're so heavenly laden and they're so little in spirit. It really means diminutive woman. It means they're so heavy laden with their cares and concerns and wants and desires and needs. And they're so little that they fall for it. What?
I see one time we talked about silly as being like uncovered.
Well, it is that too. But I want to get to the specificity. Anybody that doesn't know the truth is uncovered.
And then subject to all the crap that comes on you.
But the point of this is it means it's not has nothing to do with the sex. It has to do with the state of being. You understand that? A silly woman. We've seen a lot of males that are silly women.
Yeah, it's not a gender issue.
Right. And sins, of course, is hamachia, missing the mark. But let's look into this false guys that creep around. Let's start in Acts 15. You know, everybody always tells me, we shouldn't say this bad stuff about those people, blah, 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 blah. Well, if they'd ever studied their Bible, they see how often it's said. Where did I say to go? Acts 15. Plenty, plenty. I am just roasting.
It goes 2 degrees up, so it's 70 degrees now, and then it kicks off, and then it goes down to 66, and kicks on again. It's a 2-degree swing. It's about to go off, yeah.
That was way too much information.
Turn me over. I'm done on this side.
All right, Acts 15, let's go to verse. This is the, Acts 15 is about the council at Jerusalem, where they all got together, and it was sort of the first council to decide doctrine of Christianity, of the fulfilled covenant. And so in let's just start verse 21. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogues every Sabbath day. Then pleased it the apostles and elders with the whole church to send chosen men of their own company to Antioch with Paul and Barnabas, namely Judas, surnamed Barsabbas, and Silas, chief men among the brethren. Now Antioch became one of the, it was like the Jerusalem of the Christian church for a long time. And that's where Paul spent a great deal of his time before he began speaking. It was his home church. It's the place that sent him out. And they wrote letters by them after this manner. The apostles and elders and brethren send greeting unto the brethren which are of the Gentiles in Antioch and Syria and Cilicia. For as much as we have heard that certain which went out from us have troubled you with words, subverting your souls, saying, you must be circumcised and keep the law, to whom we gave no such commandment. So here, it's the first warning of a council about people who were subverting the mystery of God. Okay? Now, then let's go next to... I'm going to try to keep it in order so you can just go one direction. Let's go to Galatians chapter 1. And this list that we're reading is by no means exhaustive. It's just what I happen to think of when I was doing this. Verse 6.
That struck me that you must be circumcised to keep the law. It's like a natural outgrowth of the gospel being preached and the man trying to say, oh, that's good, here's how we'll do it now. And then you got to do this and that to do the gospel.
Right.
All that's good intentions of the flesh, but opposed to the gospel.
And pure evil, no matter how good the intentions are.
Right. But the deception is so great that the one doing it
thinks he's right. He's clothing himself
yeah.
rather than being clothed of God. All right. In verse 6, I marvel that you are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel, which is not really another, but there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. Now, so again, Paul doesn't name them here, but he names them all over the place elsewhere. But what does it mean to pervert the gospel? That's a very simple thing. Unless your death is the baseline for your belief system, then you have by definition perverted the gospel. Because without the acknowledgement of your death, not you're trying to die, of your death, then you will forever walk in deception for two reasons. One is that you will, by definition, you will always try to enhance self, even though you're doing it for God. You can even enhance self by giving by being a martyr. So you enhance self, and I forgot the other one. Okay, let's go to, I'll remember it in a minute.
It's like the thing in 1 Corinthians where it goes through, I should give my body to be burned.
Right.
You don't have love, and the only way you get the love is to get you out of the way.
Amen. Okay, now let's go to 2 Peter. Chapter 2 Peter. But there were false prophets also among the people, even as there shall be false teachers among you, who privately or privily shall bring in damnable heresies, even denying the Lord that bought them, and bring upon themselves destruction. And many shall follow their pernicious ways, by reason of whom the way of truth shall be evil spoken of. And through covetousness, or satisfying your own covetousness, shall they with feigned words make merchandise of you, whose judgment now of a long time lingereth not, and their damnation slumbereth not. So that's pretty strong. The last one is Revelation 2. Unto the angel of the church of Ephesus write, these things saith he that holdeth the seven stars in his right hand, who walketh in the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. I know thy works, and thy labor, and thy patience, and thou cannot bear them which are evil. And thou hast tried them, or tested them, which say they are apostles, and are not, and hast found them liars. So that's enough. You got it. You got the whole mystery here. It's. Don't be a silly woman, laden with desires and wants and needs, who these guys will sneak in unawares, clothing themselves with the appearance of Christianity, but inside they are dead men. Always trying to act. Always acting, never revealing themselves to anyone. Always putting on a show. Always careful to say the right words. Everybody understand?
I assume that make merchandise of is from this word that just means traveling around like a peddler.
Yeah, peddling.
You know, which is like so many of these people trying to act.
Snake oil salesman peddler. All right, laden with silly women, laden with sins. Now, we when we first started many, many years ago, we spent a whole long time on what sin is. And this word for sin in the New Testament, hamartia, is an archery word. And you've sinned, hamachiyad, if you've missed the exact center of the bullseye, down within one micron. If you've missed that, you have sinned. It doesn't matter from God's perspective whether you've sinned just a little bit or you're out there, you've missed the whole target. You have sinned because you've missed the mark. Now, you know, I've seen these stupid bumper stickers. I'm not perfect, I've just been forgiven. So they excuse all kinds of stuff. And the whole idea is He is the only one that hit the mark. And you're even trying to hit the mark shows that you're a deceitful worker. That reminds me. Go to 2 Corinthians chapter 11.
Trying to be the best Christian you can.
Second Corinthians chapter 11. Verse 12. But what I do, that I will do, that I may cut off occasion from them which desire occasion, that wherein they glory, they may be found even as we. Now what he's saying is there were a lot of people peddling Christianity and who used credentials. They had some credentials of some sort. but Paul is saying that the only credential is the truth. And this thing about silly women that they creep in to seduce the silly women. Just think of the number of people that, well, Pete knows, but the number of people that we've investigated that say they're Dr. So-and-so. Yeah. Why? Why do they do that? They do it to enhance to have better clothing so that they have the credential by their own standard probably, that gives them the right to reveal or to speak in God's name. That's just crazy. But it goes on and on and on and on. And even when they are exposed.
Most of them are these honorary doctorates, education. It's just
they have a little.
By, you know,
well, anybody. Yeah. Anybody that has a Bible college, they give out honorary doctorates.
We could do that here.
You know, we probably make all money at that.
Yes, I am Dr. Dunbar.
Dunbar.
Doctor in barbecueology.
Dunbar. Barbecue in his hand. Would you like to ring it in? Come on.
Dr. Dunbar. Kind of rolls off the tongue.
Yeah.
Dunbar. If you were Dr. Anthony, we would believe you.
That's disgusting. For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ. No marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. Therefore, it is no great thing if his ministers also be transformed as the ministers of righteousness, whose end shall be according to their works. Back to 2 Timothy.
That is one of the most powerful things in the whole book, the idea, because that's the whole thing about Christianity, is transforming yourself into an angel of light, to fool others and satisfy your flesh.
You've all heard this. Some of you have heard it, but... When I was a new believer, I was on television right away, 17 days later. And a man named Doctor, he had a legitimate doctorate from Harvard, Dr. Ben Armstrong, was the head of the National Religious Broadcasters. And so I became his hatchet man. Everything I'm saying now, I was saying then. And so he had me speak at various regional conferences of the National Religious Broadcasters. And then I was, in 1974, I was invited to speak at the National Conference, the National Religious Broadcasters Conference. And in the audience were all the big names. And I talked about what it means to take the name of the Lord in vain. And I said, it doesn't mean don't say God damn. It brings any glory to your flesh or put God's name on anything that denigrates with time. And I said, can you imagine, for instance, the Saul of Tarsus Evangelistic Association, or Simon Peter's Bible University. Now, in the audience were these guys that everyone, most of them had, that was the name of their ministry, something. And there, when I said that, there was dead silence in the room. You could have heard a pin drop. And at that moment, I knew that I would never again be invited to speak at the National Religious Broadcasters, and that was right. I never was again.
That's when you went rogue.
Yeah. But it's true, and somebody needs to speak it. To put God's name, to say that a building is a house of God, is taking the name of the Lord in vain. Even to call ourselves Christians is to take the name of the Lord in vain, because we're putting part of the appellation of God on our flesh. It's everywhere. Everybody does it. But it's still, it makes me sad. That's enough. I don't feel like talking anymore.
If you look at all the stuff that's happened throughout history because of all that stuff, it's
just
horrible. You know? It's just, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's pride is so, what's that? Pride is so ingrained in the human condition. Those that write about it want the honor of having written well, and those who hear want the honor of having heard it. I mean, the only way pride can be destroyed is through exhortation, through the cross. There is no other way. Was it haunted?
There's something in there.
All righty, take it, big guy, before the ghost gets John.
I think it's a ghost. I think it's more like a mouse.
That man, the tater? I mean, the man.